the book of Mark, chapter 3. Mark, chapter 3. And we'll begin reading in verse 1 here in just a second. But on Wednesday nights, we started a new series on dealing with emotions. And we dealt with, this past Wednesday, we dealt with dealing with anger and what the Bible says about it and the pitfalls of anger and the things about it. And I'm also doing this and kind of putting it together for the jail ministry. And one of the things that focused on or talked about and didn't talk in detail about was just looking at the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to look at something here, where a point where Jesus got angry. And that's not going to be the whole focus, but I do want to bring that out to you because this is a point where Jesus got angry. And so when we look at all of these emotions that we have, you know, they're God-given emotions. God gave us the capacity to feel anger. All right? The problem is that since the fall of man, our anger is almost always self-centered, selfish, in relation to ourselves. And I just wanted to, this is something that to me, I'm probably going to write a little devotional on this, thinking about anger, about just use of anger. But you know what? You know, the Bible says in another place, an angry countenance driveth away a backbiting tongue. In other words, when somebody comes up to you to backbite somebody else, to gossip about them, to talk about them behind their back, if you get mad at them for doing that, it kind of stops some of that. You know, most of the time we don't get mad at people for talking about somebody behind their back. We want to listen in. And, of course, we know gossip is wicked and a sin. But an angry countenance drives away a backbiting tongue. So we look at that. And I just wondered, I was thinking about it, and I just want to say it again because I mentioned it in passing Wednesday night. You know, when we're talking about anger and the right use of anger, wonder what it would have been like if rather than listening to the serpent talk bad about God, if Adam and Eve had gotten angry about it. Yeah, there's some things you should be angry about. But your anger is never an excuse for sin. So we're going to take a look at this morning, look at a couple things here. Mark chapter 3, verse 1. And he entered again into the synagogue. And there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched him whether he would heal on the Sabbath day that they might accuse him. And he saith unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. And he said unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they held their peace. And when they had looked round about, when he had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, stretch forth thine hand, and he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And the Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. But Jesus withdrew himself with his disciples to the sea, and a great multitude from Galilee followed him, and from Judea, and from Jerusalem, and from Idumea, and from beyond Jordan, and they about Tyre and Sidon, a great multitude, when they had heard what great things he did, came unto him. And he spake to his disciples that a small ship should wait on him because of the multitude, lest they throng him. For he had healed many, insomuch that they pressed upon him for to touch him, as many as had plagues and unclean spirits, when they saw him, fell down before him and cried out, saying, thou art the Son of God. And he straightly charged them that they should not make him known. When we look at this passage of Scripture, we see a lot of things happening. We see Jesus doing miracles. We see Jesus casting out devils. We see Jesus teaching people. We see people that are coming to him from Tyre and Sidon, from Jerusalem, from Galilee, from all around there. You have people that are coming around there, Jew and Gentile, that have heard of Jesus, and they are coming to be healed. The reality is, most people want something from God. Most people want something from God. That's a reality. And it's one thing about it is that you and I need to understand that the world out there wants something from God. Most of the time it's selfish. Just to be honest with you. That's the way mankind is. Most of these people, they wanted Jesus to change their circumstance, their situation. They wanted to be healed from their sickness. They wanted to be healed from their disease. They wanted to be free from the oppression of the devil. Problem, sad thing about that is, most people don't want to go to the point of being able to get all that stuff done. And when it comes to the Christian life. But I want to back up to the beginning of this chapter. And it's an amazing thing. He said, he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. Now this is something that we need to understand. You have multitudes. Excuse me. Water went down the wrong way. You have multitudes that were coming to watch, see Jesus and see him do miracles. There's some people that want to see evidence of God. Those people are out there. Those people are the people that a lot of times flock to a lot of these places where they want to see some type of miracle done. They want to see some type of excitement. They want to see something that is new and something they've never experienced. They're looking for an experience. There are those people that are out there. That's why oftentimes they are so easy to deceive, because they are going out and looking at everything that's flamboyant and out there, and that's why there's so many people are easily led astray a lot of times. But they're looking for something from God. They want to see evidence of God. But there are other people out there who really don't care about God at all. And they may be religious as all get up. These were the religious leaders. And they are looking to find a way to accuse him. They're not looking for anything from him. They're looking to do harm. And that is the type of people that we have to deal with today. We have people that we go into the jail. And one of the first things I tell the people in the jail when I'm talking to them, I ask the question. I said, you need to make a decision today. I said, well, I'm going to try to teach you from the Bible, and I'm going to preach the Word of God to you, but you need to make a decision. When it comes to your relationship with God, do you want your circumstances to change, or do you want your life to change? There's a huge difference. But there are people in there looking for ways to accuse. Looking for a way to discredit. And that's what they were looking for with Jesus. They watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. Why did they want to accuse him? Because they wanted to discredit him. They don't want anyone to interfere with their racket, if you will, whatever it may be. And notice I said these were religious leaders. And by the way, a lot of the accusers out there, they may not believe in the God of the Bible, but they are religious. You look at the way that our politics has become. Our politics has become not just political, it's become downright religious. You know, if you have to, and by the way, that's on both sides. I know some people, you know, if you don't subscribe to every liberal progressive theory that's come out, you know, whatever it may be, you're a heretic as far as they're concerned. You're something wrong with you, you know. And you see how they pressure people to toe a certain line. But I've known people that, on the other side, that if you say anything critical of President Trump, oh, you're just terrible. You're the most liberal person in the world. You're just wicked. I mean, that's religious. That's grounded in, for lack of a better word, it's grounded in a belief system, not simply... it's not just looking at... we got to a point where you can't have other opinions. All right? They want to be the Word of God. And they're not. But that's what they want to be. That's what the religious leaders, the scribes and the Pharisees, they didn't just want to teach the Word of God. They wanted to be the Word of God to people. And we got the same thing today. Man has always done that way. Man has always wanted to be God. That was the basis of the fall. That was the lie that the devil told to Adam and Eve, that they should have got mad at it. Ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. They should have gotten mad and said, there ain't but one God. But they didn't. But so they're there, and they're trying to accuse him, and so that's what we have to deal with, and we have to see that. We have to understand this is the type we deal with. So he saith unto the man, verse 3, which had the withered hand, stand forth. And he saith unto them, unto those that are there, those that wanted to accuse him, he asked them a question. It would behoove us to be able to ask questions like this. We've got to get to the point of being able to ask questions and get past these things. Because the truth is, a lot of these people, when it comes down to their daily lives, they hold a lot of the same morality that we do. That's a reality. You've got to get to a point of truth with them. And Christ is trying to get to a point of truth with them. And he says to this, he says, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days or to do evil, to save life or to kill? He said, which is it? Now, if they would actually listen to the law, they would have understood that the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. They would have understood, you know, they would go out and they would do certain things, and they had a whole litany of laws and things that they were supposed to, that you couldn't do on a Sabbath day. You couldn't kindle a fire. You couldn't do this. You couldn't do that. And Jesus pointed out the hypocrisy of a lot of their things that he did, but he asked them a simple question. This is the Sabbath day instituted by a holy God, right? So is it lawful to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill? And they didn't want a man to be healed on the Sabbath day. Now think about that. Their religion had gotten to the point where they were willing to allow people to suffer because it's the Sabbath day. Now think about that. That's wicked, isn't it? And when he looked round about them with anger, round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts. Stop right there. They held their peace, they would not answer. And Jesus looked on them with anger. He was angry. He was angry. A lot of times we say, I'm mad. You know, when I was growing up, I was taught people get angry, dogs go mad. Big difference. Kind of funny that so many times we get angry and we act like a mad dog. Probably why we adopted the term mad instead of angry. Anger. The Lord Jesus Christ got angry. Was his anger sin? No. Now, if you get angry without a just cause, that's sin. Because it's selfish. If your anger goes out towards somebody and turns to wrath towards somebody or malice, that's sin. But Jesus was angry. And what was he angry about? He was grieved because of the hardness of their hearts. He was grieved because of their wickedness, of their refusal to even engage in a discussion that would have clarified the truth and shown the truth. It's kind of like Elijah with the people of Israel. And he asked them on Mount Carmel, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, then serve Him. If Baal be God, serve Him. Make up your mind. Quit going back and forth. And it said the people answered him not a word. A closed mouth never makes a commitment, does it? A closed mouth never chooses one side or the other. A closed mouth never argues for the position they hold in their hearts. They wouldn't answer him. He looked around about them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts. So what did he do when he got mad? He was the Lord. I think if Elijah could call down fire from heaven, I bet you Jesus could. One day they're going to stand before him, right? At the judgment seat. He could have hastened the process right there. He had every power. He had all power. He had everything at his disposal. He could have turned and dealt with them right away, and he could have done, he could have said things, he could have done all manner of things. He didn't do any of that. What did he do? He looked at the man with the withered hand. He said, stretch forth your hand. And he did, and it was healed. He had two good hands now. What did Jesus do when he got mad? He did good. He did right. He continued doing the purpose for which he came. He didn't get sidetracked by it. There's the proper response to anger. When you get angry, what are you supposed to do? Good. How many times does our anger stop us from doing good? You ever wanted to do something to somebody and then they made you mad and all of a sudden you decided you didn't want to do something for them anymore? They don't deserve it. I wonder what life would be like if we just went ahead and, even though we were angry, just went ahead and did good. Think about it. That's what Jesus did. He just went ahead and did good. He didn't respond. He didn't allow his anger. His actions weren't driven by his anger. There's going to come a time for God's wrath. There's a time for God's wrath, but it will not be driven by God's anger. It will be driven by justice. It will be driven by holiness. It will be driven by righteousness. God's angry with the wicked every day, yet the rain's still falling outside. I'm looking out there. It's falling pretty good, isn't it? Sun rose this morning, didn't it? Just simply saying we need to understand some things. We look at this and we see who Jesus is and we see what happens. And we see how his enemies went forth and took counsel with the Herodians. The Pharisees went forth straightway and took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. Politics and religion just joined together. Sound familiar? And what's their idea? They want to destroy him. But Jesus withdrew himself with his disciples to the sea. And you know what he did? He just kept doing right. He kept doing right. He kept doing what he does. You go on and read the chapter. He goes on and ordains his 12 apostles. And he continues to do good all the way through that. He's just doing that. He was angry. He got angry. But he kept doing right. There's the goal plainly set before us, isn't it? Isn't it amazing? We get so angry about so many things. Some people just live in anger. And then anger becomes bitterness and hatred. And then we wonder why we don't have any compassion for lost souls. When you look at this and you look at the way Jesus handled that anger, that's the goal. He didn't come to judge men. That wasn't his job. That's coming later. That's when he comes to reign in righteousness. He'll judge the world. But he said, I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. I'm here. I'm just going to keep doing what I came to do. And we're not here to judge the world either. We're here to take the gospel to all the world. Too often we let our anger get in the way of just doing what God's will is. And that put a whole different spin on be angry and sin not. Be not weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Trust in the Lord and do good, even when you're angry. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and we'll close out the Sunday school lesson. Father, we thank you for everything you've given us. Thank you for letting us see into the heart of our Lord and helping us to see what a good and right reaction is. Lord, we're always going to have opposition. We're always going to have trials and tribulations. And there's going to be things that will make us angry and that we shouldn't be angry about. Help us, Lord, to repent of that. Lord, there's times when we should be angry and we fail to get angry. And Lord, forgive us for that, we pray. Help us to see. But Lord, when we do get righteously angry, help us not to use it as an excuse for sin, but to continue to just trust in you. And even though we're angry, do good. Do what we're supposed to do. Help us, we pray. Now, Father, we pray you bless the fellowship here, and then we also pray, Lord, for you bless the preaching and then the jail ministry, preaching in the jails and the teaching in the jails tonight. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity to do good. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.